locker room's open.
Hello, Bill.
Hi, guys.
How are we doing?
I know you had high or have high expectations for your linebackers, but at this point, I know it's been 2 games, but their production has just been sort of off the chart. Can you talk about really all 3 guys, but especially Mason and Levante, and just how they seem to sort of leading the defense?
Like you said, we did have really high expectations for those guys coming in because they're talented. They played, you know, they played for us a year ago, Mace for 2 years now, and. But, you know, if you had asked them, they'd probably tell you about the things they need to get better at. And that's really kind of been a theme for our whole defense, you know, that regardless of how well we may have played in spurts in the first couple of weeks, there's so much stuff that we can get better at, situational football and consistent performance. But, yeah, we did have those expectations of those guys, and they're competitive guys. They like to play, and they really prepare themselves during the week, which is probably why they have the best chance to play well on Sunday.
Main takeaway from Sunday's game, was it we played a heck of a defensive game against a heck of an offense, or we got to make that final stop?
The final drive, and then the other one was the one we turned loose. You know, we turned Jimmy Graham loose on what really was a busted defense. And so that's self-inflicted. It had nothing to do with the route. Nobody got faked out. There was a miscommunication on our part, and you know, that's what happens. That can happen. You know, a lot of times that does happen and doesn't come back to hurt you, right? They just hand the ball off and somebody tackles a guy and it's an insignificant mistake. But that was very glaring. And, you know, even though it happened in the first part of the game, it came back to haunt us. And so those are probably the 2 things. Yeah,
Was it consoling to you at all that the defense played a very strong game overall?
I guess I would say kind of twofold. One is it's encouraging because you see a lot of really competitive performances out there. And guys playing with a lot of instinct and a lot of effort and being very physical. And so those things are very encouraging, and we definitely try to build on that. But in the first 2 weeks, there's so many things that we can correct. And like I said, there's so many, I'll call them mistakes that are happening. And they aren't all critical, and they aren't all actually hurting us on particular plays. But they'll come back to get you if you don't get them corrected. And so that's kind of been the focus for our guys this next, you know, the last 2 weeks getting ready for this game.
Bill, when Darrell Revis was signed, he told us, and he said he told Greg, what I do is I just point me to the receiver and I'll put him on the island all day. Wherever he goes, that's kind of what I like to do. And I know he's done some of that, but in the last drive in particular, I know he took Colston at times. Colston was in the slot on Leonard, and I imagine you had a safety over the top of him. I don't know. But, did you consider putting Revis in that situation, just manning up on their best receiver, or I would presume, I mean, Graham hurt you too, but or will we see more of that as we go forward, or are you just trying to mix it up right now with him?
No, we definitely thought about it afterwards for sure, and we do try to orchestrate that during the game as far as getting him on the receivers that we want to have him cover and or the coverage types that we play, where he can be he's not as dependent as having, you know, a half field safety behind him necessarily. And as we go forward, every week when we game plan, we look at who is perceived as the top receivers for that team and how do we best match up all of our personnel, not just Darrell. But you're right, that's, you know, he has a very unique skill set in that area. And as we go forward, sure, we're definitely going to, you know, try to orchestrate that in the scenarios when we can, whether it's man coverages or pressures or stuff like that.
Particularly in the 2 minutes. I mean, because I know things happen fast out there. I mean, they were moving really quick, so now you can't always change.
Right. And we you know, like I said, in hindsight, we're geniuses. But, you know, we talked about that after the game, and as we go forward, you know, have in the system where you can get that, you know, where you can get him on a particular guy, even if that guy isn't happening to be lining up to his side or a particular wide receiver.
Coach Yano mentioned, you know, Derek Landry and how you guys like to sub your defensive linemen, but it looked like Sunday that you guys were doing really wholesale changes, particularly on the defensive line, every other snap. Or, you know, I mean, there was 3 or 4 guys coming in and off the field. Number one, is that something kind of new? And number two, if it was that just to keep guys fresh because this was Drew Brees back there? And if it was, is that something you think you guys will continue to do?
I would say 2 parts to that. One was some of it was substitution of personnel groups, right? Like Derek or some of the other guys, they play maybe in our dime package, but they're not really starters in our what we call our base, our normal first and second down stuff, when they only have what we call regular personnel on the field. But the other is to try to keep fresh guys in there, and you know, we have the luxury of having some depth at that position. So it was probably a combination of both. A lot of it looks, when you see that mass substitutions, is because, you know, they're going to four wide receivers now, and so we're going to take our Sam out and bring a nickel in and that kind of stuff. And we do some of that with our defensive line as well. We have dime defensive line personnel as well as base, you know what I mean, different kind of guys that maybe might be better at pass rush than playing the run.
Bill, I can't think of another team in this league, you probably can't either, that suffered more gut-wrenching losses over the last couple of years, last play, next to last play, field goal. What kind of emotional impact does that take on you and the coaching staff?
I would say immediately, it's sickening, right? It's gut-wrenching. There's no doubt. I couldn't sugarcoat that anyway. It's a very sick feeling, especially because the amount of time and preparation you put in and the players do to get ready. And like you say, you put yourself in a position to be there at the end of the game. But the nice thing about our sport, we have a game the next week. So within a 24-hour window, you're so completely immersed in the next team that whatever frustration or heartache you may have had, that's so far in the past, because you have something in front of you that's so challenging in and of itself that you're moving on to that.
Have you learned not to second guess yourself like Sunday night when you get home, Bill, or it's obsessive for 24 hours?
I mean, yeah. You know, there's always, like I say, a shoulda, woulda, coulda, man, I wish I had that one back, or, you know, coulda done this, maybe done this. But I don't think that when we're calling it, right, we have a plan. Everything's all planned out anyway. So basically you're just executing the plan. You're not grabbing something out of thin air. And you work on it during the week and you plan on it working. And sometimes they out-execute your guys. I try not to second guess too much, but you definitely rethink it philosophically and schematically as you reflect back on what transpired in those 2-minute drills.
Potentially, what kind of future could a guy like Levante and Mason playing together, as young as they are, for the next several years, whatever that? I mean, as they play more together, do they become more in sync?
Oh, sure, yeah. Because the communication that goes on between them, especially in the passing game and how we play the coverages, you know, just I hadn't thought about it the way you just described it, but that sounds fantastic. And really, you know, the good defenses around the league have guys that have played together for a while. It's not a revolving door with a bunch of new faces. The nature of our league with free agency, you're going to have some of that every year. But if you can get your core guys to be around for 3, 4, 5 years, I think that's usually what you find on the good defenses.
On the coverage bus with Graham, Drew Brees saw that you guys were going to play man-to-man, and Mason, I guess it, either Levante or maybe, you can correct me, who makes a call, but try to check out of it and get back into his own, and not everybody got the call.
Yeah, yeah.
But is that, it was late. They, you know, they saw that he saw that you were in, you were coming. And then, so how late can they, is that just an experience thing where everybody's on the same page, or was that too late to switch? And what would you have them do, anything different in that situation, or just it's everybody, the safety, everybody has to get there?
That's the biggest thing. You know, you can always, critique the timing of it. You know, how late in the clock was it for us? Maybe so, yeah, and then at least you have guys on every guy. They may be running a route into what they'd love to see you in, yeah. But at least you're playing a defense that all 11 guys are playing the same. But, you know, that example, and we had several of them in the first 2 weeks, are just, you know, we refer to them as communication breakdowns, right? There was some disconnect, either a guy or two guys or three guys, and it's happened more than you'd like. And like I say, in many plays, it hasn't affected us. The average guy watching the game wouldn't know it, but that was very glaring. But your point is well taken. There is a fine line there where, you know, it's getting down to snap time, and yeah, maybe that's the best thing, but, you know, sometimes you can just let it eat and you play it out, and at least you're playing a defense, you know, coordinated, but everybody's playing the same thing. Yeah.
One question on Claiborne. I thought, you know, you can describe his play and just what I know from week one to week two, but he seemed to be extremely active on almost every snap.
Yeah, that's the one thing about him is you're going to get a lot of great effort and pocket push and pursuit, you know, on the ball. for all of our D linemen, you know, Randy does a great job, and Brian Cox and Bob Frazier, they're always talking about the technique so that their pass rushes are actually more effective, that you're not just counting on overpowering guys. Or in the run game, they're actually playing with better techniques with their hands so they can not only knock the blockers back, but leverage them correctly and get off and make plays. So he can still develop and grow in that area. But the one thing about him is he's going to go hard, and he can really push the pocket just by just your power rush. You know what I mean? And he'll run and chase. He makes a lot of run and hit plays, you know, away from the ball. Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Okay.